2 Samuel chapter 23. I pray it can be an encouragement to you. And I know that sometimes it just gets discouraging when certain things happen to us and the circumstances of life just kind of overtake us. But I want to show you from the Bible that we can have victory through incredible, seemingly insurmountable circumstances. So 2 Samuel chapter 23, and I'm going to read for you verses 8 through 12. And this here is the story of David's mighty men. And there's many different messages you could preach out of this. In fact, I've got a message I preach to young people out of this. But I'm going to kind of take it a different direction this morning. And keep this in mind. As we read through here, read about these men and what they accomplished, notice the circumstances they found themselves in. Okay? So keep that in mind as we read here in 2 Samuel chapter 23. I'm going to read verses 8 through 12. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had: the Tachamite that sat in the sea, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. And he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave into the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agee the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together to a troop, or as a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And many more things we could read, but we'll stop there through our text. So let's pray. Lord, bless us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you're going to teach us, Lord, the principles, Lord, that will help us live this Christian life. And thank you, Lord, for the story in the Bible, Lord, where we see some men who, God, were put in some crazy circumstances. But yet, Lord, even though they faced some amounts of circumstances, they had victory. And Lord, so bless us this morning and help us to learn some things. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, as we read through there, and I think maybe you kind of caught on to the crazy circumstances that these men faced. The first man we read about was Adino. And it says here that he was outnumbered 800 to 1. I don't know what kind of circumstance you've ever found yourself in where you feel like things are against you, people are against you. But here was a man who literally had 800 people against him at one time. Those are some crazy circumstances I think we could agree with. Then we read about a man named Eleazar, who the Bible says he fought so hard that he couldn't let go of a sword because of the battle he was fighting. Has there ever been battles in your life that you fought and you just felt like you fought so hard that literally, maybe not physically, but you just felt like that you were just so tired of fighting? And I think we've all found ourselves there where you feel like maybe your hands just kind of stuck from all the fighting you've done. Then we read about Shammah, who stood in the midst of a bean field and defended it. And what was so amazing about that, he did it by himself. One particular thing we read, and we'll look at this later, that you know what? Everybody else ran away except him. But yet he stood in the midst of that circumstance and defended it. And then we didn't take the time to read these, but if you keep reading, you read about three of David's men who, because they loved David so much, they broke through the stronghold of the Philistines and risked their lives just to get David some water from the well of Bethlehem. And later on in the chapter, we read about Abishai who, get this, he killed 300 men at one time with the spear. Now, when I preach this to teens, I kind of like to have a little fun with them. And we talk about, you know, superheroes and things like that. Listen, these guys, they didn't have any superhero powers, okay? I mean, you know, they weren't like Superman that could shoot lasers out of their eyes or anything like that. Here's a guy who literally killed 300 men at one time with a spear. Now, think about that. That would be hard to do with a machine gun. Could you imagine? 300 guys at one time, and yet he did it with the spear. Those were some crazy circumstances, okay? And then further on in the chapter, we read about a man named Benaiah, who he killed. The Bible describes him as two lion-like men of Moab. And then he killed a lion, the Bible says, in a snowy pit. Now, I've met some pretty gnarly looking people in my time, all right? But I don't know if I've ever met someone that was described that they were lion-like, okay? And I'm sure if you've seen any of this crazy stuff in the news the last few weeks about, you know, the dentist that killed the lion over there in Africa, all right? I watched the news special on that the other night, and it was kind of ridiculous, actually. But here we had Benaiah, who he killed two lion-like men in Moab, and just for fun, I guess, killed a lion in a snowy pit. Okay, by the way, they didn't have guns back then. Okay, and so the point I'm trying to make is this. As we read about these different men, I think we can all agree that they faced some crazy circumstances. Okay, I mean, you find them facing circumstances where they were outnumbered. We see that they're finding circumstances where they have to stand by themselves. Here they have to face circumstances where they're facing opponents that totally have them outmatched and probably outstrength. But yet, you know what we find as we read about these men? All of them had victory. All of them had victory. Okay? Now, folks, let me say this. Okay? In life, as we live life, especially as we're living life in these end days, okay, and we're living life in this crazy world, you're going to find yourself in circumstances that aren't always fair. Okay? You're going to find yourself facing circumstances that are seemingly overwhelming. Okay? You're going to find yourself facing maybe loved ones will have an early death. Maybe someone just happens to get sick and they're not supposed to be sick, but they get sick. People are losing their jobs. People face financial setbacks and losses. And on we could go about the circumstances of life. And you're going to find yourself as a Christian with some hard circumstances that you're going to have to deal with. Okay? Now, when these times, when you come to these times, okay, here's what's going to happen. Either the circumstances will get the victory over you, or you will get the victory over the circumstances. Okay? Those are the one or two options. Either you will come out victorious, or the circumstances will come out victorious. Okay? Now, as we read through here, and when we saw some men who overcame some overwhelming circumstances, if we look and see what they had in their life that allowed them to have the victory, I believe we can learn from that. Okay? Because listen, here's the thing. You're not going to beat crazy circumstances by the power of positive thinking. That's not going to do it for you, okay? I mean, you can't just wish them away. I mean, some days are dark days you're going to have to live through when you're facing these circumstances. But even through that, you can have the victory, okay? So I'm going to give you four words this morning that we find, four principles in these men's lives that we can learn and we can have victory over the circumstances, okay? So victory over the circumstances. That's our lesson for today, all right? So here's the first thing that I find that these men had, all right, in order to have victory. The first thing we have is this. They had the right allegiance. The right allegiance. Notice what it says in verse 8, okay, as it describes these men. These be the name of the mighty men, notice this, whom David had. Okay, verse 9, okay, it describes them, and it says this in the middle of the verse. One of the three mighty men, notice here, with David. Okay, again in verse 13, okay, and it says, and three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time. Okay, and what you find out after reading the accounts of these men, now you know what? These men had the right allegiance to the right man. They had allegiance to the man of God and to the cause of the man of God. They were loyal to David. By the way, I thought this was interesting. They were loyal to David before he even became the king of Israel. He's not king at this point. Okay? This is part of the time when he's running from Saul and he's on the run. Okay? And before he was even king, they were loyal to him. Okay? Now, as a Christian, if you're going to have victory over circumstances, all right, you're going to have your right allegiances. Okay? You've got to have your right loyalties, the right allegiance. Now, here's the number one thing as Christians we ought to be allegiant to, and that is, this is a no-brainer, but we ought to have allegiance to God Almighty. Allegiance to God Almighty. Now, it's easy to be loyal to God when everything's okay. All right? That's easy. It doesn't take much strength in the Lord to sing victory in Jesus when things are going well. When everybody's healthy, there's money in the bank, and you're on the mountaintop, anybody can sing and shout then. Anybody can claim their allegiance to God then. Praise the Lord, I'm a child of God. But what happens when all of a sudden you don't just descend into a valley, you're not clean off the mountaintop by an unexpected circumstance of life? It's not an easy descent. I mean, your safety rope's cut and you plunge right into the dark valley. What then? Now, the first reaction that most people have that I've learned is this. People want to blame God. That's their first natural instinct. Well, if God loves me, if I've been, you know, living my life for God, sacrificing my life for the Lord, why did God let this happen to me? And that's a fair question, okay? People ask that. By the way, that's more of a human reaction. Okay? Now, as a Christian, though, if you're going to have victory, you've got to just learn that, you know what, no matter what happens, your loyalty is going to be to God. Understand something, Christian. It's not God's fault when bad things come into our lives. Okay? We've got to learn to just take God off trial. Okay? And not blame God every time something bad happens into our life. Now, God at times allows things in our life. But listen, it's not His fault. Okay? I mean, in fact, let's go back to Genesis. Let's go back to the very beginning. You know what God's plan was? God's plan was for man to never have to face things like that. I mean, God's plan was for man to be able to live on earth in perfect fellowship with Him without having to deal with sin. But guess who messed it up? Did God mess it up? Absolutely not. You know who messed it up? We messed it up. Okay? And because we made the choice as mankind, guess what? We have to live with the consequences of sin. Okay? Now, when bad things happen, usually it's one of three things. First of all, bad things happen because of our own sinful choices. You know, so many times in life, people want to make bad choices, and then when they have to reap the consequence of their bad choices, all of a sudden it's God's fault. Okay, listen. God's not the one that wanted man to have to live with the results of sin. That's man's fault. Okay, for example, maybe someone will die because they decide to drive drunk. Now, what happens if they make that choice? You know what? That bad circumstance is a result of someone's bad choice. Now, by the way, you know what? That's probably a hard thing to go through. There's obviously innocent people that's affected by that. But yet, bad circumstance is a result of man's own simple choice. A lot of times, sometimes when bad things happen, it's because of the natural laws of life. I mean, there's just certain things that happen in life, folks. It's just part of the natural process. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, "For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." I mean, for example, all right now in California, they're going through a crazy time of drought. Now, you know what? There's also Christians, good Christians living out there, who are suffering the same way that lost people are suffering. Okay? And that's just part of the natural laws of life. Okay? And then sometimes the reason bad things happen is because it's an attack of the devil. Okay? And we had the illustration of the life of Job about that. And you know what? Job, hey, he was doing right. He was living for the Lord. And all of a sudden, all these crazy circumstances happened to Job. It wasn't God's fault. It was because the devil was attacking Job. Okay? So Christian, listen. All that to say this, if you're going to have victory over circumstance, you must keep your allegiance correct to God. Keep your allegiance to God. Don't blame Him when bad things happen in your life. Okay? By the way, you must decide before a circumstance comes along that you don't understand, you must decide before how you're going to handle that. Because if you wait until you face a circumstance, you probably won't handle it right. You must decide how you're going to handle it before the circumstance comes. So let me just help you set a precedence here. Take God off trial in your life. And keep your allegiance proper to God. Do not blame God. Do not allow the devil to plant that seed of bitterness in your heart toward God, and you want to blame Him when bad things happen. All right? So if you're going to have victory over circumstances, you must have the right allegiance, of course, to God. Number two, you need to have your allegiance right to godly principles. To godly principles. Now, no doubt, David had instilled some principles into the lives of these men. We know that's true because you know what? When they first came to David, they weren't very mighty. Okay? Here's a verse in 1 Samuel 22:2. It says this. By the way, talking about these mighty men, here was their origin. You ready? And everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. That was the origin of the mighty men right there. Did you hear that description? Does that sound too mighty to you? Distress, debt, discontented. The three D's right there. Distress, debt, discontented. That sounds like some of us, amen? Alright? Distress, debt, discontented. That was their origin. I mean, it's hard to believe that just a few chapters later, we read about them accomplishing the things we just read about a while ago. I mean, some of the most amazing human feats that could be accomplished, the men that started out in debt and distress and discontentment turned into mighty men. You know how or why they did that? Because they were loyal to the right principles. They had allegiance to godly principles. David instilled those principles into them. Okay? And Christian, when it comes down to the fight, okay, or whether to fight or to flee from overwhelming circumstances that life's brought upon us, okay, the what's going to help you is if you become allegiant to Bible principles. Listen, Christian, I know I'm preaching this to the choir this morning, teaching this to the choir, okay, but sometimes the most simplest things are the things that we struggle with the most. Listen, be allegiant to what the Word of God says. I mean, it's crazy in this day and age we're living in, folks. There's so much false teaching out there. There's so many things that the devil's trying to use to deceive people. And at first, they just seem so subtle, so little. But the problem is, it's changing the faith of Christianity today. And the reason that's happening is because people are not allegiant to the principles of the Word of God. And you know what? I mean, they just get off track so easy. Listen, just aside, if the Bible says it, you're going to believe it. Amen. I mean, you must stand on something. And the only thing we can stand on that's sure in this crazy world of circumstances is the Word of God. And that's why the Word of God is exalted at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That's why it's preached, it's taught. I mean, the Word of God is supreme here. Because it's what we have to anchor ourselves to. Okay? So become allegiant to godly principles. It's going to help you through the crazy circumstances in life. I mean, hey, we need Christians that just will have some principles to be loyal to them. I mean, principles of faithfulness to your wedding vows. Principles of a relationship with the Word of God. Reading it, studying it, meditating upon it. Principles of spending time in prayer with God every day. Principles of being loyal to the pastor. Principles of always being in church every time the doors are open. Principles of serving God no matter what happens. I mean, folks, listen, those are all Bible principles. Those are things that as Christians, if you're going to have victory over circumstances, you must be loyal to. And by the way, that's why these men, I believe, saw victory through great circumstances because their allegiance was right. Okay? So first of all, we find their allegiance. The second thing we find about these men is this, their perseverance. Their perseverance. Okay? Back in verse 9. All right, 2 Samuel 23. Notice what it says here. We talked a little bit about this, but I want to highlight this aspect here. Okay? When it's talking about Eleazar in verse 9, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. By the way, you better be a mighty man if your father's name was Dodo. All right? Don't think he didn't hear about that. Okay? It says here that when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, notice this, and the men of Israel were gone away. Okay? Guess what? There was other men that helped them pick the fight. But once the enemy turned on them, guess what happened? Everybody cut and run. Except one man. Eleazar. Okay? Now, if you've got a group helping you fight, there's security in numbers. Okay? But yet, when all of a sudden you engage the enemy and the enemy engages you, and you turn around to look and see about who's got your sticks, and guess what? They're all gone. That'd be very tempting to cut and flee also. But notice what it says in verse 10. He arose, notice here, didn't say he arose and fled. He arose and smote the Philistines. until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. You know what that's called? That's called perseverance. You know what? It didn't matter what everybody else did. He was going to persevere until he had victory over the circumstance he found himself in. By the way, he wasn't the only one. In verse 11, it talks about Shammah. Notice here, once again, okay, we find the exact same thing. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lint tiles. Notice this, and the people fled from the Philistines. Once again, you got the enemy coming. All right, everybody's there until the enemy comes, and then guess what happens? You know what that? They tuck their tail between their legs and they take off. But thank goodness there was a man named Shammah. Verse 12. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and he didn't just do that. I love this, and slew the Philistines. You know what he did? He stood, he defended, and he slew. You know what that's called? Perseverance. Perseverance. Hey, by the way, the numbers weren't in his favor. Okay? Everybody else had left. But yet, he persevered. To me, the most amazing part about what these guys done wasn't just the fact they did it when it was hard, but they did it when it was hard and no one else was willing to help them. It's one thing to do something that's hard when you got people helping you. By the way, I mean, there's security in that. There's help in that. And that's one of the amazing things about the Church of Jesus Christ. The reason we can accomplish things for the Lord because we got each other there to help us. I mean, hey, if I'm going to fight a battle, I'd rather fight it with a whole group of people than by myself. I don't want to have to fight by myself. But here's the thing. As a Christian, if you're going to overcome circumstances, you must be willing to fight by yourself. Because sometimes you will find yourself in a position where you will have to persevere on your own. And you know that's exactly what we find about these two men. I mean, God is looking for Christians who are willing to persevere and allow Him to do a great work through them. I mean, folks, we understand this. The enemies are real, okay? The battle at times is overwhelming. You know what? The stakes are high. But just as real as the enemy is the power and presence of God Almighty. And just as overwhelming as the battle is the strength and help of God's right arm. And hanging in the balance are the souls of people everywhere that where their eternity is at stake. So when difficult circumstances come, instead of whining and complaining that no one's there to help you, persevere and ask help from God and from His Word. Instead of quitting, decide you'll do right. And even if it literally kills you, hey, I would rather die persevering than die fleeing. That's how I'd rather die. If I want to die, I would rather take it right in the chest knowing I was going forward than in the back running. And you know, hey, by the way, that's what Jesus wants His church to do in these last days we're living in. Remember what He said? He said this, occupy till I come. You know what that word occupy means? It's a military term. It means to take ground. Keep going forward. Remember what He told Peter? Upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What did He mean by that? By the way, ask yourself this question. What are gates used for? You know what gates are used for? Defense is what they're used for. So when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. You know what He was saying? You know what? I think Jesus expected His church to be storming the gates of hell. Amen? Now we've seen the song Hold the Fort, but that's not a real biblical philosophy. Jesus doesn't want His church to hold the fort. He wants His church to be busy storming the gates of hell. And that's our job, by the way. We must persevere. We must persevere, all right? So that's what exactly here what these men did. So it's going to take allegiance to have victory over circumstances. It's going to take perseverance to have victory over circumstances. I read an illustration this week. On March 6, 1987, Eamon Coghlan, the Irish world record holder at the 1,500 meters, was running in a qualifying heat at the World Indoor Track Championship in Indianapolis. With 2.5 laps left, he was tripped. He fell, but he got back up and with great effort managed to catch the leaders. With only 20 yards left in the race, he was in third place, good enough to qualify for the finals. He looked over his shoulder to the inside and seeing no one, he let up. But another runner, charging hard on the outside, passed Coghlan a yard before the finish, thus eliminating him from the finals. Coghlan's great comeback effort was rendered worthless. Why? Because he took his eyes off the finish line. And you know what? As Christians, you know what? We must keep our eyes on the finish line. We must keep persevering. And by the way, you can't just afford to persevere once. I mean, hey, it's good if at one time you do persevere. We must continually persevere until we reach the finish line. And the finish line, of course, is either when we close our eyes in death or we go up by the trumpet. That's the finish line. So keep persevering, and if you keep persevering, you'll have victory over circumstances. By the way, you know what? That's all He expects from us. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Did you hear the requirements there? Good and faithful. It wasn't, "Well done, thou great and mighty servant." That's not what Jesus said, was it? "Well done, thou good and faithful." By the way, here's what I found out in life. If you're good at things, you're probably not going to be great at one particular. You can't be great in everything. Okay, people that are great are usually great in one aspect, but if you look at most of their lives, they're lousy in others. Okay, what Jesus said: be good and faithful. Good speaks of well balanced in everything that you do. That's what He was talking about. By the way, so being good and faithful. And faithful. Hey, you know what? I'll never be great at anything, but I feel like I could be good and faithful. Good and faithful. Just be faithful to the finish line. Persevere. So if you're going to have victory over circumstances, you got to have the right allegiance. Number two, you got to persevere. Number three, I like this, you must have some defiance. Okay? Notice what He says back in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 9. Listen to what it says here about Eleazar. Okay? It says this, And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahite, one of the three mighty men with David. Notice here, when they defied the Philistines. I like that phrase, when they defied the Philistines. That word defy, it means to pull off. It means to expose. It means to defame. And you know what they did? When it came to their enemy, they weren't making peace with their enemy. There was no waving any white flags. There was no, "Come on, Mr. Obama," there was no trying to make a peace treaty with someone who's our declared enemy. Okay? That's not what they were doing. You know what they did? They defied the enemy. Now last week we talked about who our enemies were. When we spent a whole week talking about having victory over enemies. And a little review from last week. Our enemies are the devil, the world, and the flesh. All right, we talked about that. And listen, when it comes to our Christian life, you know what we've got to do to our enemies? We must defy them. We need to defy the devil. By the way, aren't you sick and tired, Christian, of being the devil's punching bag? Aren't you sick and tired of every time old smutty face comes around that we sometimes just fold like lawn chairs? By the way, get tired of being defeated by the devil. And instead of being defeated by the devil, why don't we learn to defy the devil? Defy him. Defy the devil. Defy the world. Defy the flesh. Every time you live a holy and righteous life and you shine bright in this dark world we're living in, you know what you're doing? You're defying the world. Every time that you keep your testimony right, you know what you're doing? You're defying the world. Every time that your flesh has a bad desire and some lustfulness that creeps up and you crucify your flesh and you confess your sin to the Lord every day, you know what you're doing? You're defying your flesh. Let me tell you something, Christian. If you're going to have victory, then you know what? You've got to do some defying in your life. Notice what it says in verse 8. I love this. He lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. Verse 10. He arose and smote the Philistines. Verse 12. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. Verse 16, and the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines. In verse 18, he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them. You know what that is? That's defiance. That is annihilating the enemy. And you know, I don't get this thing about where Christians are trying to make peace with the enemy. Okay, and by the way, when I'm talking about the enemy, I'm talking about the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, God hasn't called us to pick up guns and go out, and we talked about this last week, and kill the abortion crowd. Okay, that's not our enemy. We're fighting spiritual battles here. Okay, but when it comes to our spiritual enemies, God wants us to defy them. God doesn't want us to just wave the white flag of surrender. That's the problem with America. That's the problem with our churches. We got too many churches waving the white flag of surrender to worldliness. Waving the white flag of surrender to the devil. Waving the white flag of surrender to carnality. By the way, be glad you're in a church, Christian. We have a pastor that's willing to defy those enemies. And as Christians, that's what we need to do, is to defy them. To defy them. So if you're going to have victory, you know what? You've got to have defiance. You've got to have a little fight in you. A little fight in you. All right? By the way, didn't Jesus, or didn't through the Bible here, the Apostle Paul, isn't that what he said? Fight the good fight of faith? I mean, that's what we're doing, Christian. It is a fight. You know that, right? I mean, Brother Roloff, I mean, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's not. We're not playing a game. I mean, the battle's real, folks. The stakes are high. We're fighting for the souls of men. And we've got to have some defiance about us as a Christian if we're going to have victory over circumstances. And then the last word we're going to talk about is this. Okay? We've talked about allegiance. We talked about defiance, and we talked about perseverance. Here's the last word, reliance. Reliance. Look what it says here in verse 10 and verse 12. Two particular things here. Notice what it says. It talks about the feats of the mighty men. Then it says this, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Did you see that? Who wrought the great victory? It wasn't Shammah. It wasn't Eleazar. It wasn't those other men. You know who it was? And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Verse 12. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. You know the reason these men, the most important reason that they had victory of their circumstances? Because they were reliant upon the right source. They weren't reliant upon their own strength and ability. By the way, you know what I really think? I do think these men were trained warriors, no doubt about it. Okay? But here's what I really believe. I believe that when it came time for them to have to stand up and make a stand, I believe God supernaturally empowered them to do what they had to do. There is no way a guy on his own can kill 300 men with a spear. No way. You know how that happened? God got involved. You know how that Eleazar was able to kill when he was outnumbered 800-1? How did he win that victory? Because God got involved. That's why. They were reliant upon the right source. By the way, I wonder where they learned this reliance from. Kind of reminds me of something we just heard here Wednesday night. 1 Samuel 17. Remember when old David as a youth faced the Philistine? By the way, how could David as a youth kill a man that had him outskilled? How in the world could he do that? Well, here's how. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." Where do you think the mighty men learned that principle from? You know where they learned it from? They learned it from their leader. You know why? Because that's exactly what David did. Throughout his whole life, the reason David was able to overcome these crazy circumstances is because he was reliant upon the Lord. Now, Christian, I don't know what kind of giant you're facing. By the way, if you're not facing a giant right now in your life, just hold on, because you will be facing one before too long. That's just called living life as a Christian. You're going to face your giants. What are you going to do when you face them? How can you have victory? I'll tell you how you can do it. Reliance. Reliance upon the Lord. Listen, Christian, you will never have victory over crazy circumstances of life on your own. Never. I mean, circumstances will throw you in the blender of life and try to slice and dice your sanity, your peace, and your joy. And you know what? If there's any way you will ever have hope of victory, you must have full reliance upon God. Listen, this isn't just something some cute little sermon a preacher preaches about. This is real life right here. Reliance upon the Lord. Notice what David says here in 2 Samuel 22. I love this verse. Notice, by the way, as I read this to you, notice the personal pronouns as I read this to you. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day, that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. Listen to this. And he said, "The Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer. The Lord, the God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." You know what the dominant pronoun in that passage of Scripture was? My. You know what that means? God was personal to David. Personal. Listen, folks. You don't just have a general God. You have a personal God. God wants to be involved in your life in a personal way. And I promise you, if you will be reliant upon Him through difficult circumstances, you will come out victorious. Yes, you will. I read this illustration. This is written by a pastor. One day while my son Zach and I were out in the country climbing around some cliffs, I heard a voice from above me yell, "Hey, Dad, catch me." I turned around to see Zach joyfully jumping off the rock straight at me. He had jumped and then yelled, "Hey, Dad." I became an instant circus act, catching him, rolling around the rocks. We both fell to the ground. For a moment after I caught him, I could hardly talk. When I found my voice again, I gasped in exasperation, "Zach, can you please give me one good reason why you did that?" He responded with a remarkable calmness, "Sure, Dad, sure, because you're my dad." His whole assurance was based in the fact that his father was trustworthy. He could live life to the hilt because, you know why? His father could be trusted. And let me tell you something, Christian. You know what? If that's so with the human father, isn't that even more so with the heavenly father? Listen, Christian, God can be trusted with your life. Yes, He can. Why am I not worried about this journey that the Lord's taking us on? I mean, yesterday we gave up possession of our house, I'll be honest, it was a little bittersweet. It really was. I mean, it's just a house, it's just a piece of property, but it was some place that we called home, the Lord had given us, that we enjoyed. But you know what? I'm not worried about it. You know why? Because God can be trusted. And God knows what He's doing with my life. God knows what He's doing with your life. And I'm telling you, Christian, you can have victory over the circumstances you're going to find yourself in. Allegiance to God and His Word. Perseverance, even if you're left to stand alone. Defiance of your enemies and circumstances. And reliance fully upon God and His promises. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. Thank You for the lesson this morning, God, the principles, God, how important it is, Lord, for us to take these things and put them to practice in our lives, Lord. Thank You that You are trustworthy, God. We can be fully reliant upon You, God. So help us, Lord. Bless the dear folk here, Lord. I know that many of them are facing difficult circumstances, God, and things at times are dark. But, Lord, we, even through all those things, can have victory, Lord. Bless us, we pray, and bless the service to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.